All right, welcome to the meeting. I will, you have received an agenda in your package. Do I have a mover for the agenda? Councillor Papp, a seconder. Councillor Jacob, all those in favor? Great, thank you. We'll move on to the roll call. VPJC.
President JC. She, her pronouns, College of Arts and Science. Thank you.
Thank you. VP Goswami.
VP Goswami, he, him, College of Arts and Science.
VP Sains.
VP Science, I use she and her as pronouns, and I am from the College of Engineering.
VP Ifkar.
Hi there. I use the pronoun CNM, and I'm from the College of Arts and Science.
Councillor Kurzinger.
Councillor Kurzinger, College of Ag Bio, and I use the pronouns he, him.
Councillor Ross.
Hello, I'm Councillor Ross. I use the pronoun she, her, and I'm representing the College of Ag Bio as well.
Councillor Jacob.
Hi, I'm Councillor Jacob. My pronouns are she and her, and I'm from the College of Arts and Science.
Councillor Papp.
Councillor Papp, I'm from the College of Arts and Science, and I use he, him pronouns.
Councillor Bhatti. Councillor Rose. Councillor Gibrabe. Councillor Singh.
Hi, I'm Councillor Singh, and I use he, him pronouns, and I'm from the College of Engineering.
Councillor Noon.
Hi, Councillor Noon. The MSC for the Indigenous Student Union. I use she, her pronouns. Thank you.
Councillor Schachter.
Hi, everyone. I'm Councillor Schachter. I use she and her pronouns, College of Arts and Science.
Councillor Miglani.
Councillor Miglani, I use pronouns he and him, and I'm the international students representative.
Councillor Khan.
Hi, I'm Councillor Khan from the College of Kinesiology, and my pronouns are she and her.
Councillor Perot.
Hi, I'm Councillor Levi Perot. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm with the College of Law, and I might need to spend part of the video off camera just because of some technical issues I'm having.
That's totally all right. Councillor Kim.
Hi, this is Councillor Kim from College of Medicine. My pronouns are he and he.
Councillor Lummerding.
Councillor Lummerding for the College of Pharmacy and Nutrition, and I use she and her pronouns.
Councillor Bowman.
Hi, I'm Councillor Bowman. I use she, her pronouns, and I represent St. Thomas More College.
And Councillor Yu.
Hey guys, I'm Councillor Yu. I represent Western College of Veterinary Medicine.
Councillor Yu, you might want to check your microphone. It's sounding a little rough. If you have headphones with an additional microphone, that might help. We heard you. It just sounded like you're speaking through a fan. That makes sense. Is there anyone I missed? Councillor Gupta.
Hi, I'm Councillor Gupta. My pronouns are she and her, and I'm from College of Arts and Science.
I'm very sorry, you are on the list. Double checking that. Sorry, I should have missed you. Okay, we have Jason Bettner with us.
Hi, everyone. Jason Bettner, USSU Communications Marketing Manager. My pronouns are he, him.
And Maxine.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Maxine Kinnikin. My pronouns are she and her, and I am the manager of Access and Equity Services.
All right, we will move on to our land acknowledgement. As a Council of Indigenous and Non-Indigenous Students, we acknowledge that we gather on Treaty 6 territory, the homeland of the Cree, Soto, Dakota, Sioux, Lakota, Métis, and Blackfoot people. We acknowledge the harm that colonial institutions, such as the University of Saskatchewan, have done. We remember that there were centuries of governance and education on this land before settlers arrived, and these forms of governance and education are continuing today. We honor and affirm our relationships with one another and the land that we are on as we work together to dismantle the systemic barriers to education that First Nations, Métis, Inuit, and other marginalized people face. Now we will move on to our guest presentation, our council address. Maxine?
Hello, thank you so much. That's a very full agenda that you have, so I'm honored to be able to be squished into it. I won't take up too much of your time, and whenever I attend meetings where I talk about access and equity services and what we do, I always leave lots of time for questions because there always seems to be lots at the end, and I'm never fully able to guess what might be asked of me. So I'm just going to do just sort of a brief introduction about who we are, and then I'm happy to accept questions. So a little bit about myself. First of all, I've been in my role as manager for 19 years. When I first started, we were called Disability Services for Students. We had about 250 students on campus. Now a lot has changed. We are now called Access and Equity Services, and we have over 3,000 students. Initially, Disability Services for Students provided accommodations to students only with disabilities. We work to assist the university community with meeting the accommodation requirements that are outlined by Saskatchewan Human Rights. So in the absence of our office, Saskatchewan Human Rights still has a duty to accommodate people who fall under protected categories. But the university, we are fortunate that we have a service that can assist with developing those accommodations and helping colleges implement them. So the reason we changed our name was because probably about 5 years ago, we started noticing more students were coming to us seeking assistance with receiving accommodations based on other categories, memberships of other categories. So things like religious accommodations, family status, gender equity. And so we realized that the name Disability Services for Students wasn't an accurate reflection of all of the students that we were providing services to. So we changed our name, and I'm working on changing the university policy that will just update and will better reflect the services that we provide. So what does it mean when a student registers with us? So again, in order to qualify to register with Access and Equity Services, you have to be considered a member of one of those protected categories under Saskatchewan human rights legislation. So if you're a student with a disability, and that still remains the largest category of students that are registered with the office. So of those 3,000 students, about 92 to 94% of those students are students with disabilities. So we require documentation. We have a medical questionnaire that's on our website. Our website is quite detailed, so any information that you are looking for or any questions that don't get answered this evening, check the website because we try to keep it as plentiful of answers as we can. So disability requires medical documentation, or in the situation of a learning disability, a psychoeducational assessment. That documentation is then reviewed. I have a team of advisors that work for Access and Equity Services, and each advisor is responsible for certain colleges. We like that approach because it means that the advisor can follow the student throughout their academic career within their college. And also that advisor gets to know the associate dean and the instructors, the faculty, and the processes that the college has in place for accommodation. So once the documentation is accepted, then a student signs consent forms, they register with us. And then the next thing that happens is they will receive their accommodations. And they, if they're academic accommodations, they present those to their instructors in the form of a letter that comes from Access and Equity Services. It has my signature on it, and it outlines what academic accommodations the student is entitled to receive. Now, for some of you who are in the health science programs or other professional colleges, it's somewhat different in order to receive accommodations. For students that have clinical placements or rotations that they have to do, we provide a service that is a bit more integrated with the college. And so we develop accommodation plans, and those are done through accommodation planning committees. So we work with the associate deans and sometimes department heads, sometimes clinical chairs. It all just depends on what program the student is in. And then we have to determine what accommodations are reasonable based on what the professional standards are that the student is expected to meet in their program. So for example, if it's the College of Medicine, if you're an undergraduate student, your accommodation plan might look different because you are rotating through different placements. But if you are PGME and you're a resident, and let's say you're a resident in obstetrics gynecology, then your accommodation plan would be tailored to your residency program. So all that to say that developing accommodations is not necessarily a simple and easy task. Nor are we always able to provide the accommodations that a student might want. So an accommodation, and this is even the case in academic settings. For example, a student may require the accommodation of maybe absent occasionally, and that could be for health reasons. They have medical appointments, they are ill on days that they can't know that they're going to be ill on in advance. And so they might have the accommodation of maybe absent occasionally. If they are in a course or a program where there's a mandatory attendance requirement, we will work with that program to try to provide an alternate accommodation, but sometimes that's not possible. And so then we look at, is there the option for the student to maybe take this course at another time when attendance is going to be possible for that student. So human rights and the duty to accommodate isn't necessarily black and white all the time in terms of being able to know exactly what accommodation the student wants, what accommodation the program is offering, and we can just do that. There's a dance sometimes that we have to do in terms of what is considered reasonable. And that's what the human rights legislation talks about, reasonable accommodation. So I'm telling you all of this because I know that in your roles, you often get outreach from students. And we are so fortunate, I think, to have very good working relationships with you and with your programs and colleges. And so for the most part, I think that in the 19 years that I've been in my role, we've been able to develop college level policies and procedures that speak to the understanding of the importance of the duty to accommodate students. But at the same time, I think it's important for you to understand that sometimes those accommodation plans do take some time and energy and effort. And we really do try, because we have to, and we want to provide the best accommodations that we can for students. Student success is paramount to the work that we do. My colleagues and I wouldn't be in this work if we didn't understand and value the importance of human rights and in a post-secondary setting that speaks to the success of students. Sometimes I sort of drill down now into deeper into how we provide services, but again, I'm looking at the clock, I'm thinking of your agenda. So maybe I'll just pause here and see if there's any questions at this point.
Councillor Schachter?
I just have a question. So I'm just wondering if temporary accommodation is possible due to some temporary medical conditions?
Absolutely, yes. Temporary accommodations are very possible. We have students who, you know, break their dominant arm and can't write their exams. And so we do absolutely accept temporary accommodations. Temporary accommodations is also where we sometimes see in family status accommodations. Someone may be having a difficult time with childcare. So oftentimes family status is registered as temporary and can be renewed. Obviously, your temporary status can be renewed with us. And it's either by term or by academic year.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Councillor Bowman?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, so I had a student bring up a problem with me this week.
Okay.
They were sitting in class, and as we all know, in the syllabus, there are statements in most classes saying that the classes are not allowed to be recorded and, you know, all that information. Anyway, this student saw someone else on their computer recording a class, and they weren't sure, was it their duty to bring it to the professor? But maybe this was an access and equity situation where the student had permission for recording, in which case it was none of the student's business, right? So they were not sure their action to take, because mm-hmm. they didn't want to infringe on access and equity, but also if the student was illegally recording a lecture, a live lecture, that was concerning.
Right, absolutely. So the accommodation of audio recording is an accommodation. And maybe I'll just kind of walk you through what that looks like. So when a student is approved to audio record lectures, we have an agreement that they must sign. It's the audio record lecture agreement. And what that does is it outlines to the student very specifically what they can do with that recording. And it is only for personal use. They cannot share it with anyone else. It must be deleted at the end of the course. They have to provide not only their letter that outlines that they have that accommodation, but they also must provide this signed agreement to their instructor. So it's sort of a two-piece way of receiving that accommodation. I think the student that spoke with you was right. Had they gone to the instructor and said, I did see a student who was recording, obviously because of confidentiality, the instructor could not tell that student whether or not that other student is an AES student. So certainly they could have brought it to the attention of the instructor. The instructor would not have been able to verify any membership to AES.
Wonderful, thank you. So if Absolutely. Students do have questions, they can make their professor aware of what they're observing, even though I completely understand that the professor can't. Yeah, it's a privacy issue there. Thank you for clarifying.
Yes, you're very welcome. Any other questions right now? So maybe I'll just move on to just talk a little bit more about the other kinds of protected category accommodations that we can provide. So we have seen an increase in both family status and religious accommodation requests. Those are handled somewhat differently in that there is no formal documentation from a third party that needs to be provided. So for religious accommodation, it is a self-declaration that the student makes. Their Saskatchewan Human Rights is quite clear that membership to a religious organization is not a first tier of question that needs to be answered. So again, when I first started in my role, we would have students who would submit, say, a letter from their rabbi verifying that they were indeed a member and did require accommodation. Now we no longer need that for the first level of accommodation requests. So a self-declaration, and then primarily those accommodations can be worked out informally with a program or a college. We find that most students feel comfortable enough in approaching their instructor, or we do so through an email, and we simply copy the student and we indicate that there is a religious accommodation request that needs to be provided. Now, sometimes they are easier just in terms of the student isn't going to be able to write an exam on this particular day. Therefore, can we look at moving this exam to another day? Sometimes they become a bit more difficult because let's say it's a student who is supposed to be doing a clinical rotation on that day, but they're not able to do their rotation. They would still have to complete those hours of that rotation because it is a core component in order to be successful. There are not hours that have to be met. And so we would have to look at where would we add those hours on so that the student can complete the hours necessary for that rotation. But again, that's not a problem. It just means that we might have one of those accommodation planning committees where we sit down with the program and we look at the accommodation request and we all agree to how we're going to provide that accommodation. Similar for family status, that is a self-declaration as well. And that is a parent-child relationship. And so that can either be the student is a care provider to a child under the age of 18, or they are the child of someone that they are providing care to. So oftentimes that's elder care. That's a self-declaration. And then those accommodations as well tend to be handled more on an informal basis. So it's an email to the department head, either with the assistance of an AES advisor, or the student it just does it and lets us know that, yep, my professor said that would be fine because I have to take my mother to a specialist appointment. And so, you know, I'm not going to be able to write the quiz on that day. Of course, we have other accommodations that help with those situations as well. So things like our volunteer note-taking program. If a student is going to be absent or late or needs to leave early, having a note taker is sometimes quite helpful. We have our alternate format program. So those are materials that are produced in an alternate format, mostly textbooks. I have two people who I work with at Access and Equity Services that are assistive technology specialists. And so they help students obtain grant funding. There's some pretty good grant funding that's available to students with permanent diagnoses. And that grant funding can be used to purchase technical aids, to pay for tutoring support, learning strategy report support. We can get educational assessments, psychoeducational assessments. I have an educational psychologist on staff who does psychoeducational assessments. So we're quite happy about that. Kristen's been with us for a few years now. And it's really nice because before that we had to refer students out to organizations like the Learning Disability Association of Saskatchewan, which is a fantastic organization, but we found that it took longer for students to be able to get assessments and get accommodations in place. Having Kristen on staff being able to do assessments, there is still a wait time, but it's not as long as when we have to refer out to a not-for-profit. Okay, I'm at 6:30 and I know that I don't want to go over my 30 minutes. Any kind of last questions for me?
Hi, I have a question.
Yes.
You mentioned for special cases, for example, religious accommodations, that you have committees who sort of go through these accommodation decisions.
Yes.
I was wondering, in those cases, or I guess any case where the committee is involved, is a student an active part of those committees? Like, do they sit on these discussions, or is it kind of they ask these committees for a certain amount of accommodations and the committee reviews it and kind of reports back to them? Or is it more of an active participation?
No, it's completely active participation. Yeah. So the student sits as a member of their accommodation planning committee. The student knows best what accommodations will work, won't work for them. The accommodation plan that is developed at those committees is considered a living document. And so changes can be made at any time. Sometimes accommodation plans are great right off the hop, and at other times the student takes the plan out, the accommodations start being provided, and then the student realizes that, no, this isn't exactly what I need. So the student can call the committee together at any point, as can the program, as can Access and Equity Services. So we really do work collectively to develop those accommodation plans.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great question. Okay, well, if there's nothing else, then maybe I will say thank you again so very much. This is my favorite part of my job, attending these meetings and being able to answer questions and meet people. This has been so helpful for me. So I hope it's been helpful for you as well. And please don't hesitate to invite me back. I'm happy to come back at any time. And do check out our website, because again, it's got our policy, it's got all of our documents, all of this information. And also, please feel free to email me, myfirstname.lastname@uss.ca. Thank you all so very much.
Thanks, Maxine.
Absolutely. Bye, everyone.
Okay, I just want to let Taz know that my computer is getting a little glitchy again, but we'll see how this goes. Can everyone hear me all right? Start sharing my screen. Taz, do you want to share your screen? Do you have the slides up?
Yeah, I will do that in just a second. Hold on.
You know, I have Zoom week meetings all week and it doesn't do this. All right, so you will receive these reports in your package. We'll start, I keep forgetting to ask this, does anyone have any questions about these reports? Okay, seeing none, I'll need a mover for USC of last, that was the last meeting. Councillor Lumberding, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Yu, thank you. Mover and seconder. All those in favor of those minutes, sorry. As long as there's no errors and omissions. All right, thank you. Executive Committee. I need a mover from the executive. VP Goswami, thank you. Seconder. VP Ivakar, thank you. All those in favor of the executive committee report for those minutes. Great, thank you. Next slide, please. Both of those carried. All right, so colleges and constituency reports. Typically what happens in this section of the agenda is each of you that represents a different college or group on campus would report to us about what your college is doing, if there's anything kind of noteworthy that's been being discussed or any questions that you've been instructed to bring to the table here today from those meetings you attend with your colleges. Does anyone have anything to report? Next week, we will be doing a roll call on this one, going through the list. So bring it up with your colleges and your constituencies. You know, if they have any questions, next week would be a good week to ask them. If they want to know anything or if they want to tell us anything about what they're doing. Next slide. All right, there are no motions arising from the minutes or the reports that I know of. We'll now move on to our elections for the ad hoc committees. For the committees and the ad hoc committees, starting with the Academic Relations Committee. Takir, I believe that's you.
Can everyone hear me? All right, lovely. So the Academics Relations Committee. So in the Academics Relations Committee, how it works is that I am the chair for the Academic Relations Committee, and there'll be three counselors elected for the committee, and there'll be three students at large positions, which will be appointed by the appointment committee. And so what the Academic Relations Committee does is that it would create yearly campaigns to inform the members of any academic issues within the colleges or on campus, and how we can resolve them. So these could be student rights and responsibility, open educational resources, online homework systems. So for example, we in summer had some problem where some students didn't have access to spaces to write exams, right? So these type of issues are something that we will tackle, and then also assist the vice president academic in terms of academic governance. And another person that would be present at this committee would be the Academic and Governance Assistant Dallas. And so, and it would be meeting frequently on a monthly basis.
Great. So there's three positions up for elections. Does anyone have any questions for VP Iftikhar? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to a call for nominations. Just realized I don't have a notepad, so I'm gonna have to use my phone to take notes. Oh, and just like that, all your names disappear. All right.
Do you want me to state the names?
Yeah, if they have their hands up, that'd be great. Thanks.
All right. Councillor Lamerding, Councillor Chakdar, and Councillor Khan.
All right. Councillor Lamerding?
I would like to nominate myself for this committee.
Okay. Councillor Chapka, is that right?
Yeah, I would like to self-nominate.
And Councillor Khan.
All right, I'd also like to nominate myself.
Okay. Second call for nominations. Third and final call for nominations. Since this is all self-nominated, I don't have to ask you guys. The positions are all filled. All right, we'll move on to the anti-racism, anti-oppression ad hoc task.
Thank you. So this will be a new ad hoc committee as I presented last week, and I will be the chair of this committee. Essentially, just once again, an overview is to create space for to focus on students with marginalized identities and the issues they face, specifically looking at the perspective from an anti-racism and anti-oppression focus. And some of the main core ideas that we'll be doing in our discussions is challenges around the current campus services and policies. We'll also, I'm hoping that we'll also have time to focus on Black, Indigenous, and people of color focused mental health resources. And also if we have time, we will also be focusing on updating USSC policies to encompass anti-racism and anti-oppression values. And so this committee would have three members of student council and five student at large members, with the non-voting member being Jason Venner, who's present with us today, and he is the communications and marketing manager. Thank you.
Great. We'll open the floor for nominations. Taz, you'll have to read me the names again. I see your face. You're at like the top of my screen.
So far, we are seeing a nomination for Councillor Chakdar and Councillor Jacobs. They have raised their hands.
Okay. Councillor Chakdar?
I would like to self-nominate. Thank you.
And Councillor Jacob?
I would also like to self-nominate myself.
Great. All right, we have one more position open. Second call for nominations. Oh, someone is now at the top.
Councillor Noon has raised their hand.
Councillor Noon,
I'd like to self-nominate.
Thank you. Last call for nominations. All right. Since it's all self-nominations, yay, we filled all the positions. Elections Committee. Jason.
Hi, everybody. Just a little update on the Elections Committee. It's chaired by a practicing lawyer, so that's why none of the exec will be talking about this one, and I'll do it because I sit on it as a non-voting member. But it's chaired by a lawyer. Sarah Nordine has been the chief returning officer who oversees the elections. They are from Natishan Goff, and we have usually an ACRO who's also a student, and then we have two counselors and two student at large. It meets during election time in March, and then also if there were to be a referendum or a by-election, the elections committee would meet during those times as well. But generally it's only in March. And potentially, if one of the exec were to move on, it would happen in before October. Okay. And it's super fun, so you should nominate yourselves.
Open the floor for nominations. Oh, Jason, did you, if they don't,
great. That's right. Yeah, if you're thinking about running for executive, if you are on the elections committee, you would have to step down, obviously. So if you're thinking about running for executive, give it a little bit more thought. You may not want to be on the elections committee because you'd have to step down before the elections start. But other than that, feel free.
Okay, Councillor Papp.
I'd like to self-nominate.
I feel like there's someone just below you that I'm not seeing the hand of.
No, there is no one yet.
Okay, cool. All All right.
Councillor Ross has raised her hand.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd like to self-nominate.
Great. Second call for nominations. Oh, is there another hand?
Councillor Miglani has raised their hand.
Go ahead.
I'd like to self-nominate myself.
Okay. All right, Pap, Ross, Miglani. Okay. It's MI, it's not Mick. Jeez. Are there any other hands?
Not that I'm seeing.
Okay, cool, great. People are just like moving around my head on the side of the screen, so it's guessing game. All right, third and final call for nominations. All right, ladies and gents and friends beyond the binary, we are in an election. Woo! I can't create polls, Tess. So because my thing's glitching and I can't click any buttons, I'm going to have to ask Taz to create the poll.
All right.
Which will be unfortunate because that means you can't vote.
Yes.
Each candidate will get 1 minute to speak. I suggest you probably stop sharing your screen during the poll. And we will go in this is always up to the discretion of the chair. What am I feeling?
Oh no. Let me figure this out.
I am sorry I'm interrupting you, but on second thought, I'd like to withdraw my name and make life easier for all of us.
That counts for Ronnie.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can do the poll if you would. Yeah, okay. All right. Is that a confirmation on resigning from the nomination?
That is all right. We'll accept your resignation. But then I have to say, third and final call for nominations. Okay, nominations are now closed. No more resigning. congrats to Councillor Papp and Councillor Ross. I don't know what's going on the screen. I can't see anything. We're going to have to do that Chromebook thing next week, I think. Oh, okay, cool. We're back to this. All right, we'll move on to the next committee, External Relations.
All right, thank you. So external relations, I have the bylaws pulled up here. So external relations is a committee that I will be chairing, and we are seeking 3 nominations for this committee. Apologize, I'm having to look over to my other computer because I'm sharing the screen on this one. And so the main gist of this committee, we will also be having 3 student at large appointed as well. Few things that I'm very excited about for this committee. We will be working on our first ever lobbying document for focusing on advanced education. We've also had many productive conversations with the Ministry of Advanced Education and the critic of advanced education as well. So speaking to a lot of big political leaders in Saskatchewan, and I'm really excited to have this committee take off.
Great. We'll start a call for nominations. Oh, yay, I got your hands back. Councillor Perreault.
I would like to self-nominate for this position.
Great, thank you. Now they're gone again. Jeez.
All good. So Councillor Chakdar and Councillor Singh have raised their hands.
I actually have one question. So how frequently are we going to meet for the committee meetings? Or
for this committee, Yeah. My initial goal is that until about the end of October, we'll probably having bi-weekly meetings, and then later on we can move towards monthly meetings. Because until October, there's a few busier items happening for this committee, and then it will hopefully settle down in the next few months. So that's my ambition for this committee, but we'll also see how the committee members feel as well once this committee starts rolling on, depending on what the frequency will be at that time. It will be, I guess, up to the future of this committee and what the members decide.
Okay, so are we gonna meet online or in person? Like if you are having online, okay.
Great, Councillor Singh.
Hi, myself Councillor Singh, and I would like to nominate myself for the External Relations Committee. Thank you.
Okay, we have Councillor Perot and Councillor Singh. Second call for nominations. Third and final call for nominations. Are people's hands up, Taz?
So I'm seeing none, but I would like to make a nomination.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I would like to make a nomination for Councillor Kim for this committee.
Okay, Councillor Kim.
So as per my schedule wise, I don't think I can commit to more responsibility right now. So I would have to reject that nomination here.
Third and final call for nominations. I can now see your hands, so that's good news. Okay, I'm seeing no hands go up. Okay, we'll move on with one vacant position on this committee. Moving on to the Finance and Assessment Committee.
Excuse me, Madam Speaker, may I ask a question?
Go for it.
Is there any minimums or maximum number of committees that a councillor can be on?
I refer that to Jason Bettner.
No, you can be in on as many as you want. It's just kind of dependent on your workload. So be on all of them if you wanted, but you might be busy.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, finance and assessment. I believe that's VP Goswami.
Yeah.
I can briefly touch on vacancies. So vacancies can be filled by the committee itself, I believe. Is that correct? Just bring up the bylaw. Or by this council. Should someone express interest, right? Jason, is that correct?
Yeah, and depending on what counselors end up coming later on, we can always fill them in later too, so.
Okay, we'll move on to VP Goswami.
So I'm looking for four counselors for Finance and Assessment Committee. So the committee will look over the and make recommendation for USSCU finances, annual budget, capital expenditure, making strategies for the future year's finances. Yeah. And we will review the budget, and there is a evening party or something, like, yeah, lunch later down the road. So I will highly appreciate joining. It will be fun. Like, yeah, we will work with our controller for reviewing finances and making a strategy. So yeah, it will be fun. Please nominate yourself. I need 4 people, please.
Promises it will be fun. All right, Councillor Perot.
I would like to self-nominate for this committee as well.
Great, thank you. Councillor Singh.
Hi, I would like to self-nominate for this committee. That is Finance and Assessment Committee. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Councillor Miglani.
I would like to self-nominate myself for this committee.
Great, thank you. Second call for nominations. Councillor Singh, is your hand still up, or would you like to nominate someone? Oh, okay, great. Councillor Gupta?
I would like to self-nominate myself.
Great. And Councillor, BP Goswami.
Oh. No, it's okay. Ignore my hand.
Okay, great. All right. That is, we'll do a third and final call for nomination. I don't think, like, the number of calls is in Robert Rules of Order, you guys, but it's like a weird partisan habit I've picked up. All right. That is all the positions filled. Thank you very much. All right. First year ad hoc. VP Sainz.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm transferring to another place. But as we presented last time, this first year committee is to have a campus more welcoming for first year students and also second years that didn't have the opportunity. So we are looking for 3 members of the student council.
3 or 4, I'm looking for clarification.
Should be 3.
Okay. Great, I will now open the floor for nominations or questions. It would be awesome to see some people who didn't have a first year, maybe. If there's any of you that exist, take on this role. Make sure you raise your hand. I can see that now, so. Second call for nominations. Third call for nominations. If you're trying to type it in the chat, I can't see it. All right, as with the other committee, this can be filled at a later time as people see interest. So all 3 positions remain. All right, campus group committee. Abhineet.
Campus group committee, I need 3 counselors that will review the campus group funding request with me, ratification request, any inquiry on insurance and other stuff regarding campus groups. So yeah, We will be mostly meeting bi-weekly or weekly, depending on the ratification application. It's the most, it's one of the most fun committee, I will say. You will get to me every now and then. It's awesome. You approve a lot of funding for other events, budget. You get to know how to manage or risk management events. Yeah, I have good plans for this year. Please join. Yeah, three counselors. Yes.
All right. VP Papp, I did see your hand go up briefly. Did you have something to say?
No, sorry. I just got too excited and wanted to self-nominate early.
Okay. Counselor Papp, the floor is yours if you'd like to self-nominate.
As just mentioned, I would like to self-nominate.
Counselor Bauman?
Yes, I also would like to self-nominate.
Great. And Counselor Schechter?
Same here. I'd like to self-nominate.
All right. Second call for nominations. VP Goswami?
I would like to nominate Counselor Noon, Counselor Krasinger. Yeah.
Hold on. I need to make notes. Okay. We got Pat coming. Schechter, Counselor Schechter, that was you who self-nominated as well, right?
Yes, she.
Okay. Yes. Oh, sorry. I think I was muted.
Okay. Noon, Counselor Noon. Who else?
Counselor Jacob and Counselor Krasinger.
Okay.
And I self-nominated too.
Oh yeah, Counselor Bauman too, yeah.
Yes, I have you. Okay. Third and final call for nominations. All right, we'll go down the people who have been nominated. Counselor Krasinger, do you accept your nomination?
About the frequency of meetings and how solid we will know when these times are. I have a very rigid schedule. So I'm just wondering how much notice and what type of time commitment it would be, because I think it's a very interesting committee. However, if it's something that's going to pop up on a weekly basis at different times each week, that can be very hard to fit in. If you have an answer for me, I would love to hear it. And I would be happy to be a part of this committee if I can fit it in nicely.
All right, VP Goswami, do you have an answer?
Yes, I have an answer. So I will make a doodle poll and we will fix a time for a week, like whole first semester, first like term and the second term depends on your availability. Yeah, because we need to meet frequently because there are a lot of funding requests and we need to approve a decline or make changes on the campus group funding request and ratification request. So yeah, there will be like fixed timing, no emergency notice, nothing. Yeah.
Okay. Based off that commitment and everything and seeing how many people self-nominated out of interest for the committee, I'm going to politely decline my nomination and defer to some people that I believe would be great, have a great opportunity to fill these roles.
Great. Counselor Jacob, do you accept your nomination?
Although I do really, really appreciate this nomination, unfortunately, just with the time commitment, and it does look like a lot of other counselors would like a chance to see what this committee is all about. I appreciate it, but I will reject this nomination.
And Counselor Noon, do you accept your nomination?
I have a quick question regarding the committee. Can you hear me? Yes, okay. Oh my goodness, sorry. For the VP, Goswami, I'm just wondering with the Indigenous Student Union, how it could be of service to be like a perspective serving on this committee. If you could provide an answer for that, I'd like to hear that.
So we usually every year we used to have only one grant, the project initiative grant, but this year we have 8 grants that includes anti-racism, anti-oppression, EDI, and 4 EDI grants. So, and the one of the EDI is especially for students who can build up events surrounding Indigenous engagement and those things. So I think you will be a really good fit and your opinion will really strengthen the community, like committee.
In that case, I know with like the doodle poll, we could talk more about that and what it is we can provide in terms of perspective. For now, I mean, yes, I'll accept the nomination. Thank you.
Let me just take a quick look at the bylaws here, because I might make a recommendation to you guys. So the USC has the ability to edit bylaws. If you feel that in a campus group committee that it would be very important to have an ISU position, that could be like an option you can explore, as well as also adding like a specific position into this committee. It takes some finessing and policy work, but it would be an option to think about later down the line. President JC?
Yeah, I was just wondering if Jason had some comments on this.
Yeah.
No, you can amend the committee if you wanted to add the position, and then it can be brought forward at the AGM to make it official as part of the bylaw. But if council found it that they wanted to amend the committee, they could definitely do that. And then it can be voted on by the members at the AGM.
So if you would like, what we can do is we can table this election to next meeting, because we're going into an election here, and have the motion. But would we have to wait to add that position to the AGM, Jason, or could we do it right away, add the position, and then make it official at the AGM?
No, you could make it, you could do it at a council meeting, and then it would just be become an official part. It'd be an amendment, or it would be opposed at the AGM to be voted on by all the members, but council can make that decision today if wanted.
I'll turn it to VP Goswami and Councillor Noon and Councillor Bowman, Schechter, and Papp as well about what they would like to do, their thoughts on this. Basically, what I'm aiming to do is make it just like inclusive as possible. I love to see interested people. I like to see these avenues. I like to see these in conversations. This is an important point that was brought up. So I'm just like making sure people know that they have an option here. VP Goswami?
I'm thinking actually, it's a very good suggestion, to be very honest, yeah. But seeing the time constraint, because I need this committee to run, because this committee needs to run ASAP, because we have a lot of grants applications sitting on my USSC Hub portal. So I would need help. And yeah, so yeah, but we can for sure, if, I don't know, like Jason.
If there's a person here that's really good at writing like a motion, it can happen.
Just have to. You would just have to make a motion to add the position.
Oh, can we do it right now? Oh, yeah. Okay, easy peasy. Okay, I can do that.
So basically a motion would be like adding an Indigenous representative to an ISU representative, sorry.
Okay, yeah.
But I'll turn to Councillor Noon, our ISU
representative. I will ask Councillor Noon how she wants actually, yeah.
To word it. Or is
Councillor Noon, I'm just wondering, having, you know, because I will be meeting with the ISU sometime next week, and just kind of bringing this up as like a rotation position, considering the time commitment that's involved. But you know, if there is, you know, any perspective that we can give during, you know, each meeting each week, you know, I'd love to have that, have our executive a little bit more involved in these decisions on this committee. That's my recommendation is, but I also have to talk with the ISU as well about whether they're okay with us rotating the position and just kind of like bringing back the report and just talking about the things that were approved and whatnot.
Yeah.
If you know, VP Gotswami is okay with that kind of involvement with the ISU and the position.
I am okay, but I don't know, like, if the bylaws will let us to rotate the position. I'm not sure about that thing, if you can rotate the people around, like, the committee, because our bylaw says four counselors, yeah, because the person who is sitting on this committee needs to be a counselor, yeah. Jason and, like, President JC has some comments. Yes,
yeah. It was literally, it's for Jason's feedback. Thank you.
You could still, it would have to be one member, a consistent member as a part of the committee. But if you wanted to have someone there in an advisory role, that person can be rotating. They just wouldn't have voting rights. So you could look at it that way. So maybe it is something to have the discussions about and figure out what the best approach will be and then come back to council later.
Councilor Nguyen?
If I can just recommend, I would like to decline the position, but in the future, if you guys decide you want to change the bylaw into, have an advisory position for an Indigenous perspective, I would be open to that. Yeah, because I don't want this election to be tabled for another week if VP Gotswami needs to start, you know, implementing action and approving some things. So I'm not having a total yes to this right now, so I should probably just decline for the time being.
So the election we can still make the motion even if we have the election tonight. I want to be very clear that the two are not, like, mutually exclusive. I mean, the two are. I think I used that wrong. I'm a little tired. So we can have both. We can do it either way. There's a whole bunch of, like, motion options here. I don't want to, that my goal is not to discourage anyone from running. It is to just, like, make sure actually we have all the voices to make sure that, the issues that were highlighted in the original conversation are respected as that committee goes forward. Councillor Papp.
Could we have an ISU representative for the time being as simply a non-voting advisor, and then eventually once it goes to AGM, we could bring them on as a full voting member?
Yes, that is possible. But as Councillor Nguyen highlighted, that would also have to be a decision that comes from the ISU, because they are their own governing body that makes their own decisions. Like, we can't just, like, force these positions onto them. Councilor Nguyen?
Like I had stated, I will bring this up with the ISU, but I am open to coming into the committee as an advisory role for, when you guys need, advising for the time being. With that being said, I probably won't be there every week, but if you guys can give me a heads up and, any pressing issues that you need advising for, I could do that. I understand that I will not be a voting member, and that is okay.
All right, would someone like to make a motion that respects the spirit of that? VP Gotswami?
We are making motion for a
non-advisory role.
Okay. I would like to put forward motion for adding one non-voting member to campus group committee from ISU. Yes.
Seconder to that motion. All right. Nicole, thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor? Great. Okay. Thank you. That. Any opposed? Do the thumbs down. All right. Seeing none, that carries. Great. So we've now added an Indigenous role that I will call for a nomination for that, just to go through the formal process. And I will end the nominations here. Nominations are now closed for the three campus group committee members. And those would be Councillor Papp, Councillor Bauman, and Councillor Schachter. Now, nominations for the ISU advisor. Typically, we'd have two people here, so that's why I'm going to do that. VP Goswami, would you like to nominate someone?
I will give the opportunity. I would not like to nominate Councillor Noon, yeah.
All right, Councillor Noon, do you accept your nomination?
As a non-voting member, we will not call you every, yeah, but we will highly appreciate your suggestions, yeah.
I, Councillor Noon, will accept that.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Literally no one else can be nominated, so I'm not going to do the whole process. Great. Okay, that was awesome. That was some good, lively discussion. And then I can talk more with VP Goswami about, and Jason, you can too, about like policy options and with Councilor Noon. All right, next committee, Indigenous Student Advisory Committee. Kaz?
Thank you. So for the Indigenous Student Advisory Committee, as stated by our bylaw, I would sit as one of the co-chairs, and the Indigenous Student Union president will also be sitting as the co-chair. I have reached out to them in initiation of this committee, and we will not have an election for this committee, from my understanding, as it states that the Indigenous student members of University Students Council are automatically appointed into these committees. And additionally, four self-declared Indigenous students at large will also be appointed by the appointments committee in consultation with the president of the Indigenous Students Union for this advisory committee. And overall, I'm very excited to initiate this committee. I believe that there will be a lot of work done improving communications and relations between the Indigenous student members and in our campus. So I'm really excited to see this take off.
All right, we'll move on to international. And is there any questions about the Indigenous Student Advisory Committee? Okay, so now we'll move on to International Student Advisory Committee. VP Sains.
Hi, sorry, I have been having lots of trouble. So the other committee, it's similar to what DAS is. I co-share also this committee for the international advisory with INSA's president, which is this year Hermes. So I reach out to them also. And well, it's really important to have the international students' perspective. So in this committee, we just welcome international students from what I believe in the bylaws.
Great. And I believe that this will also not be an election right now. It's because that's not how it works. All right, we'll move on to, is there any questions about that one? Sorry. Okay, we'll move on to student experience. Which is Nicole again.
Yay, the student experience. So this committee focuses on non-academic and non-governmental issues. It's more about the student life. For example, we sometimes have the centers involved and discuss plan events. It also, if delicate topics and important matters arrive, we discuss it and bring it to the council. I plan these also to turn also for opportunity to discuss about inclusion and diversity. Yeah, so we are also looking for, just let me, four? No, three councilors.
Three. All right, I'll open the floor for nominations or questions. Shouldn't really do them at the same time. Councilor Bauman?
Sorry?
Okay, sorry, no, I saw your hand roll up.
No, sorry, my bad.
All right, so second call for nominations. Counselor Yu?
Sure, I'll self-nominate for this one.
Great, thank you. Okay. So two more positions. Third and final call for nominations. All right, the remaining positions can be filled at a later time. Now we'll remain open for today. All right. We'll move on to Student and City of Saskatoon Connection Committee.
I'm looking for three counselors. This committee, as I mentioned in the last meeting, will be the connection between the university administration, university students, and the city of Saskatoon. And we will only have 3 to 4, not more than 4 meetings, because like there are different people coming from different departments in this committee. 2 members from GSA, 3 AOCB members, 2 university administration people, 1 person from City of Saskatoon, and other directors or possible other managers from the City of Saskatoon. So once we have the counselors in place, I will schedule 3 meetings, mostly once in a month. And yeah, we will have interesting topics. So yeah, it's a new committee. It will be having fun. You will get to know about the city, the university, and you will be able to suggest your opinion in city projects. And yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, please nominate.
All right, Councillor Perot.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to self-nominate for this committee.
Thank you. Councillor Noon.
Councillor Noon, I'd like to self-nominate for this position.
Thank you. Councillor Kurzinger.
I would also like to self-nominate for this position, Madam Chair.
I would like my cell phone to stop turning off so I can see whose hands are up. All right, second call for nominations. Third and final call for nominations. Great, we've filled all the positions. It's gonna be a good committee. It makes my urban planning heart very happy to see a committee like this. All right, moving on to sustainability. Student affairs.
Sustainability. Well, this is one of my favorite committees this year because I study environmental engineering. And this committee focuses on policy making in regards to sustainability and sustainability approval grants. This year, I also want to involve this committee in the planning of Sustainability Week. And I plan to have activities with the Global Water Security Institute. So yeah. Please nominate if you want support. And it's also great to have like some different perspectives from students and different constituencies.
Great. I'll open the floor for nominations. Councillor Noon.
Councillor Noon, I would like to self-nominate for this committee.
Thank you. Second call for nominations. It is four positions. VP Goswami?
I would like to nominate Councillor Lumberding.
Third and final call for nominations. It's your chance to throw your fellow colleagues under a bus so that they can talk about sustainable transit to campus. It's a bad joke. All right, seeing no other nominations, Councillor Lumberding, do you accept your nomination?
Before I decide, how often would this committee be meeting?
I guess it depends on the ability of also the other members, but at least 3 times per year. A couple of weeks before October, because the Sustainability Week starts on October 13th.
All right, Councillor Lumberding?
I will accept my nomination.
All right, congrats. And that is it for committees. We did it. Woo! All right. Any new business? Don't think there is. Though if what I do sometimes with elections, this isn't in Robert's rules, but I just do it sometimes. As you know, there's a few vacancies. If you've been sitting here being like, oh, I missed my chance, and there's a vacancy on that cool committee, this would be your chance to be like, actually, I would like to reopen nominations for X committee. So sustainability, City of Saskatoon Connection Committee. Nope, that one's full. Sustainability, student experience, first year, and finance and assessment. Is that one open still, I believe?
I can't see the reaction, but I'd like to reopen for an external committee because I really want that last spot filled, please.
Great. All right. We have a motion to reopen the elections for external relations. Do you have a nomination, Madam President?
I would like to nominate Councillor Bowman to the External Relations Committee, please.
Okay. All right, second call for nominations. There's one position open. And if we were to go into an election, just to be clear, the two people who self-nominated would not be affected. They would remain in their positions. We would just be electing one position. Third and final call for nominations. All right, seeing none, Councillor Bowman, do you accept your nomination?
I'm very honored with it, but sadly I have to decline because of time commitments. I'm so sorry, but thank you.
Time is a social construct, come on. All right, are there any other elections that we'd like to reopen? Revisit. If you want to revisit something, you have to have a nomination for someone or yourself as a rule. All right, so now we'll move on to questions, comments, and announcements. Councillor Kruzinger.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair. This is a little bit of a off-base question, but with U of A announcing that they will be going online here with Alberta's new regulations in place, have we or anyone here at this meeting heard any rumblings within our own university of something similar potentially happening here? I know that we've been talking extensively between our student council within the Ag College about this, and people are very curious to know.
I'll turn it to President JC as she sits on the PRT.
I do not sit on the PRT, but we do have a good pathway for communication, though. For that being said, since the announcement was declared, I believe it was either very late last night or sometime today, right, about U of A. We have not heard direct communication yet, but I will be reaching out to the PRT to get any updates, if possible, but ready for the next council meeting as well. Thank you.
Thank you, President. And Matt.
Any other questions, comments, and announcements? Councillor Bauman?
Yeah, I was just wondering if there has been any discussion about having a chat for the councillors. I saw it in some executive meeting minutes and was just wondering where that's at this week.
Go ahead, Taz.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Councillor Bowman. That was going to be part of my announcements as well. So we are moving towards creating a Discord server. Dallas will be sending you all the updates and the links and such to all councillor members. So if you don't know how to use Discord, please come and talk to me. Last year, we created our very productive USSU Centers Discord. So that's been very lively over the pandemic year. So I'm really looking forward to creating a miniature version of that engaged online space as well. That way we'll have some type of a pathway to communicate between our weekly meetings. Thank you, Councillor Bowman, for bringing that up.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. I'm so excited.
Would you like to continue on with your announcements?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Chair. So my next part of my announcements is we are potentially going to be having a University Students Council social sometime down the road in the next few weeks. Dallas will be giving you all the deets around that. It will be at Louis. So we're still trying to figure out a good time eventually. And so just a heads up that that's happening. And yeah, hope to see you all in person if you're comfortable with that. No pressure at all. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Great. Councillor Lumberding.
I just have a question for the executives. I saw in the minutes that there was something from the Lung Association about a initiative they wanted to put forward for a campus smoking-free policy. I'm just wondering why that's always been declined.
I will turn it to literally any of the executive members. Or even Jason Bettner. Oh, Nicole, go ahead.
Okay, so I just met with the Lung Association, and the plan going forward for that is pass the information to the executives. And so we discussed it, and the reason is kind of it's problematic to go forward with this initiative from our side is because the university has always not go into this policy of banning like tobacco, vaping, and well, only cannabis basically. But I'm open also, like, we could discuss more about this if you would like. I was hoping to pass this initiative to the GSA.
Does that answer your question, Councillor Lumberding?
Sorry, and beside that, the university right now is focusing more in COVID than these initiatives.
Chair, can I add?
Go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, just adding to Nicole's point, right now our exec team, we are not kind of tabling off this topic. I think it's a very important topic for us, but seeing the uncertainty of time, we are kind of focusing on how the remote learning and the like the hybrid model is working on, how students are getting into smooth transition. We are working with the university on with concerns regarding Student Central, financial help, all those side, whether students are able to access their materials, whether professors are delivering the are fulfilling the needs of students in regards to academics, and those certain topics are our priorities right now. But as things settle a little bit, we will for sure come back to you guys, and you can always put forward this. Yeah, we will work what you say, basically. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for your answers. Just wanted to put that out there, as I'm a student who would definitely love to see a smoking-free campus.
Okay. All right, VP. Okay, Councilor Bauman?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I don't know who to direct this question to, but for campus groups, be that clubs or unions or associations, who are interested in participating or honoring the National Day for the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. Who do we talk to? How can I get my people involved? And I have people and groups who are interested in being involved, and I just don't know what to tell them or who to direct them to.
So are you looking for things that on September 30th events that the campus is holding or that community or associations are holding?
Specifically the university. Yeah, I don't know. I've been trying to stay updated with social media, but I haven't seen a lot yet. I don't know how to direct people to be involved or to show their respects.
If you have an answer to this question, just please raise your hand.
I have an answer to this question. I am unable to access the reactions when I'm sharing screens. So anyways, my answer would be that I will email you after this meeting with contacts from the Vice Provost Indigenous's office, because they are creating a lot of recognition ceremonies and such regarding that day in particular. So I will be forwarding those contacts with you after this meeting. Thank you for bringing that up. I think that's a really, really important point.
Thank you so much, President JC.
All right, Councilor Jacob.
I was just also wondering if the president can forward that resource to the College of Arts and Science MSCs. I think that'd be a really good resource to share with our college.
Absolutely, I will do that. Thank you for your interest.
Councilor Lumberding.
Yes, I would also like those resources sent to me to share with my campus. What's it called? Campus union? We're not a union, but you know what I mean.
Constituency, yes. Does anyone else want that information sent to them? You can just raise your hand.
Also wanted to state that I'll be forwarding the Aboriginal Student Center's resources as well, because they may have some accompanying events too.
Councilor, you would also like it to have, in case you didn't see that. Great. All right. Any other questions, comments, or announcements? Kate, VP Goswami?
I want to make an announcement that university has asked for the vaccine update status. So if any of your members are having struggle with updating their status or some issue regarding that, please email us so that we can see what's happening and we can ask university to fix those issues. Yeah, please, and encourage everyone to get vaccinated. Yeah, that's all for my sake.
Last call. Okay, great. And we will move to adjournment. Just need a mover. All right, Councillor Lumberding, thank you, everyone, for a good meeting.